Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and a very special guest on the broadcast today. I'm Bob Davis, and it is a special day at Basic Gospel because we welcome a brother and dear friend, Mr. Paul McLean, who just happens to be the chairman of the board of directors here at Basic Gospel. And we're delighted to have Paul in the studio with us today. And Paul, welcome to Basic Gospel today.
I'm just really glad to be here and for our annual board meeting tomorrow, and I'm just looking forward to what this next year is going to be for Basic Gospel.
Yeah, well, Paul and Susie are just dear friends and that I've gotten to know over the past couple of years, and actually since 1993. I think that's more than 2 years.
But, yes.
A couple years there.
Yeah, you're good at the addition, Bob.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So anyway, we're just glad to have Paul with us today, Bob.
Yes, we are, and Paul and I have been friends for a long time, and I wanted him to come on our broadcast today to really tell us his story and how this grace of God really touched him in such a transforming way a number of years ago. You know, one of our signature verses, something that we talk about time and time again, is in Acts chapter 20. And Paul is meeting with the elders at Ephesus, and he's saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. And he says, I want to finish the race, and I want to complete the task that God has given me to do. And he says, this is the task, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And he had gone out all around the world, and he had seen the power of God's grace. And Paul McLean is an example of what the grace of God can do in a person's life and what the grace of God does do in a person's life. Paul, welcome to the broadcast, and you became a Christian, sometime in the 70s, late 70s. I've heard that story, but you spent a whole lot of years, I think 19 years, trying to figure out what Christianity is all about and how this gospel was to change you and to move you down a different pathway, and there was a lot of confusion. So tell us a little bit about your story and how you came to a point where the grace of God really became clear and just right there for you.
Well, it was back in the 70s. I remember the exact day when I received Christ. I was brought up in a church, in never really not a gospel preaching church, but more a liturgical church. And when I got in my high school years, I just kind of cast that aside. And but I still had this gnawing need in my life. I just didn't know what it was. And I met this girl. You've heard this story before.
It's always a girl, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. And she's listening today because we've been married for 41 years.
Hello, Susie.
Yeah. Anyway, she had invited me to go to church, and it was the biggest church in town. And I was reluctant at first, but then I started going went there for about 3 months, and I felt like a real war going on in my life, and it really exposed the need in my life to belong, and I really needed that. I had never, up to the point when I received Christ on that December 28th, 1974, at 2 in the morning, I remember the exact day and time, I'd never read more than 3 consecutive pages of the Bible. Mm. So I was pretty much Bible illiterate. All I knew was my life was a mess, and I needed something. And so I received Christ of the best way I knew how. And he came in, and he absolutely transformed me. But from that point on, I was brought into the church, and some very well-meaning people were in the youth groups and everything else, and I was in need of, how does this Christian life work? What do I do now? And they would say, well, first of all, you got to get yourself in a good Bible study. I said, well, good. I need to know more about that. And I got into Bible studies. And they mentioned that, you know, you probably need to give of your wealth to the church and things like that. And that seemed very reasonable. And pray a lot. And then that went along fine for a while. And I was really on the euphoria of just receiving Christ. And every once in a while, I'd come up to a failure in my life and think that, what do I do now? I'm sinning again. Maybe God doesn't like me anymore. And so I would go get counsel from someone and say, well, you need to confess your sins and get yourself right with God. And so I would do that. And it would not really satisfy me.
I think that's a key word. Yeah. it doesn't satisfy, because that's kind of where I was after I came to Christ. I had these formulas, I did these church activities, but it never satisfied down at the depths of who I was and what my real need was. So I think that is key, and there's probably a lot of people out listening today that really connect with what you just said. So tell us a little bit more about that lack of satisfaction as far as your Christian life was concerned.
I would take that lack of satisfaction, and I would do whatever people would tell me to do. You need to get more involved in the church. So I got involved with teaching a Bible study to a youth group. And then I said, you know, we need to take that to another level. I became in the leadership of churches. And then I also got up to where I was preaching sermons and leading other people and teaching other people. But when I was all alone at night on my bed, looking at the ceiling and thinking that my prayer is not going any further than the ceiling because I think God doesn't like me.
Wow. I mean, just wow that you're doing all these great things, and probably people are looking at you thinking you have it all together. You are the model Christian. If I could pick anybody to follow, Paul McClain's the guy. I want to be like him. And yet, in the quietness of your heart, you're a mess. You don't believe that God loves you. You don't believe that you're worthy of His love. That you're just maybe disgusting to Him. And how do we get to that? How do those kind of thoughts really start becoming the main thoughts in our minds? And how do we get those renewed? How do we get those corrected? What happened with you?
Well, I went on this. I guess I'm more resilient, I guess, than a lot of people. I went on for, this went on for 19 years. And basically thing is, this the best this is going to get? And I know there's a lot of people listening today who have gone through the exact same thing.
You bet.
And there are probably people going through it right now. And I got to the point where I remember the day exactly. It was my turn to clean the church. And I was running the vacuum around the church, and I admitted to God, finally, I hate this. I'm putting so much into this effort to reach you and to get something back from you that I just don't like this. I was feeling like I needed to walk away from the faith. So along comes along this ministry, and through a conference we went to, and it just was amazing because we just systematically went through the new covenant of what the truth was. And I found out myself that I had to admit, did someone go in and rewrite the Bible for me? These verses jumped off the pages. And one of the studies that you're going through right now is Ephesians. And that book is incredible. And the Apostle Paul is probably the greatest communicator of the gospel of all times. But two times in this book, he is reduced to prayer for the Ephesians that they would understand it. Even though he could communicate the gospel, it took more than that. He prayed for those people that God would open their eyes. And I got to that point, Lord, I want my eyes opened. I want my eyes open. I want to see this, and I want to experience what you have. And I just looked through Ephesians here the last few days, and you go through the first 14 verses of that first chapter. And it's just an incredible dissertation of what the gospel is. And Paul goes down there and he says he's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. And it was the first time I ever realized that God declares me and my present condition without any of my effort as being totally holy and completely blameless. He did not have an offense against me, and he's blessed me with every spiritual blessing. And you go down there, and the words in this, you're chosen, you're holy and blameless, you're adopted. Verse 7, and says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to his riches of his grace. And it says that he lavished it upon us. He didn't just give us a little token of this.
A little dab or something.
A little dab. No, he poured it on us. And it just, we used to train these dogs, and one of the requirements, or not, what a suggestion was, when your dog does something good, just lavishly praise them. And my wife and I laugh over that all the time. And that is the picture that we get from God when he pours that grace on us. And it's according to the grace which was lavished upon us. He didn't hold back.
Right, not at all.
I found that God is not reluctant whatsoever, and this was his plan all along.
Yeah. Well, you had said something that I think is worth kind of repeating or really taking a look at, that you're in the church, it's your turn to do the vacuuming, do the cleaning, and that sort of thing, and you admit some truth, that you didn't like that. And the reason you didn't like it is because you thought you were investing all of this time, energy, and effort in order to reach God, and you didn't feel like you were getting anything in return.
Right.
Now, that's what we call an old covenant mindset. We do something in order to get God to bless us. And you're never going to experience the abundance of life with that kind of mindset, with that law-based mentality. It's only when the grace of God moves your mind from law to the pure love and acceptance of Jesus Christ that things start to click. So you admitted truth, and that begins the journey toward freedom. So you admitted, hey, I'm doing all of this to try to reach you, and I don't feel like I'm getting anything in return. And then that truth opened up the grace of God in your life through this conference. And what was the first thing that you noticed different about your relationship with God, your confidence as a person, and your relationship with others?
I found that I could relax. Up to this point of those 19 years, I'd never really rested or relaxed. I mean, you look through the book of Hebrews, it says there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. I'd never experienced that rest. And for the first time, we did experience that rest. In fact, we took about 6 months off from teaching, from church, almost everything. We just went for Sunday drives. Mm. And we would read, and we would listen and learn, and just get the love of God poured into us. And for the first time in my life, I could go and relax, enjoy myself, without feeling that God was expecting something more from me.
And that's freedom.
That absolutely
that, yes. That is freedom. And instead of trying to invest time, energy, and effort to reach God, you're resting in the fact that he's already reached you in the person of Christ Jesus, that he did the reaching, that he came after you, pursued you, and brought you to that place where you could just simply receive what he had for you in Jesus Christ, this marvelous, marvelous grace. Now, you've been, and for our listeners, this is a special edition of Basic Gospel. We're here with Paul McLean, who is the chairman of the board of Basic Gospel, and it is just a real joy and honor. One of the things that Paul has learned in his relationship with Christ is that he's eternally secure.
Absolutely.
As a result of the grace of God. And, Bob, we have a great resource available to our listeners this month that can help bring them to that point where they know that they know that they know, don't we?
Strangely, it's titled Eternal Security.
Yes, yes.
Friends, if you are a new creation, you are secure. You are safe in the Lord Jesus. But, you know, not everyone has that assurance. And, Paul, I was going to ask you about that when we come back. But, friends, what about you? We want everyone to have that assurance of their salvation. And as our way of saying thank you for your support of Basic Gospel, we're going to send you a copy of this CD series. It's called Eternal Security, as you make your gift this month. So just click Donate donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal to make your contribution. In Canada, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada, and there's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage as well. When you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. Paul, I was going to ask you, you said that you were not sure exactly how God was seeing you during these early years of your Christian life. Did you ever get to the point where you literally doubted your salvation?
Oh, absolutely! Mm-hmm. I probably received Christ 50 times.
Okay.
You get to the point where you go through these doubts and you say, "Oh, it must not have taken."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And the people say drive a stake and
right.
all this kind of stuff, and so I honestly, in 19 years, I probably received Christ 50 times. I had this tremendous desire to reach out and be loved by God. I just didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And so maybe I did something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we tend to, we know there's not a problem with God. So if there's a problem, it's got to be on my end. And so maybe I didn't say the prayer right. Maybe I wasn't
sincere enough,
as repentant as I should have been, or as sorrowful, or all of those sort of things. And, we just work ourselves up into this doubt. And of course, our enemy helps us along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, how can you call yourself a Christian with that kind of thinking? And, you know, did you see what you just did? Mm-hmm. And so this eternal security that we have in Christ, we begin to doubt. Instead of walking in confidence in the Lord, we shrink back in fear and feel guilty and ashamed and all of those sort of things. But it's the grace of God that lifts us out of that and really punches fear right in the face, casts it away, and connects us in a deep, deep way, anchors us to the very love of Christ. And that's where we find stability and security in our life. So, Paul, you've been, since that conference in 1993, you've been helping people find that security in their walk with Christ at your church there in California, through some other mission opportunities. You've traveled to Mexico with your daughter Holly, and you've just done, God has used you in so many ways to help anchor people to the love of Christ. Tell us some of those stories.
You know, it's not because I have to, because it's I want to.
Yeah, I hear
you. I always had a passion to talk and to preach and to give this message out. Mm-hmm. And after I learned it, I really wanted to teach it. So much so that I kind of bothered people a little bit about it. But a lot of times I would go to like a home Bible study or something like that. And we had this one occasion where we were going through and we were discussing the forgiveness issue. And we'd go through all the verses, and the verses come right off the pages of the Bible, redeemed and forgiven. And so I had this one Bible study, and it was probably 15, 20 years ago. And we came together, and there are about 15, 20 people in the thing, and we went through this forgiveness. And people's heads started turning sideways a little bit and saying, I've never quite heard it this way. And I could tell that they weren't really getting it. And so I said, I tell you what, let's come back next week and let's redo this one thing, because this is so crucial that you understand that you, as a believer in Christ, are a forgiven person, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
You don't exist as a non-forgiven, unforgiven person. So they all agreed. And so the next week we got back, and the hostess of the house, we were getting started, she says, I got to say something. And she said, I just want to tell you what happened after the Bible study last week. I went up to my daughter's bedroom, and she was like 17, 18 years old. And Mom, I got to tell you something. And you could just feel the chill. She says, I'm pregnant. And it's the one thing that, oh gosh, how do I respond to that? And she went into him, honey, let me tell you what I just learned about forgiveness.
Exactly what she needed.
Exactly. Let me tell you what I learned about forgiveness. And it changed her life. And that person is still in our church. The daughter's in the church with her family. And it just, the right word at the right time, and the truth at the right time set her free.
Grace does a marvelous work.
Absolutely.
Yes, it does. And, you know, we're in a time in our country and history, and it seems the gospel is, or Western Christianity, instead of drawing people to Jesus, we're pushing people away. And it's because we don't know this forgiveness that we have in Christ. We don't know that because of the shed blood of Jesus, we are forgiven people. And when somebody messes up, we have the great joy of being able to say, hey, God was in Christ reconciling you unto himself, not counting that sin against you. And giving some truth that can actually melt a heart and turn a heart to Jesus Christ for his love, his grace, and his transforming power. And you were a witness of that, and you've told that story, and every time you tell it, I get a little tear. I mean, I cannot help but to do that, understanding the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. And a couple of years ago, Paul, you and I, you had come out to Texas, and I invited you over to my house, and we sat out on our back porch, and you and I just had a conversation. And so I said, Paul, why don't you come join us and be a part of our board? And you said, let me think about it. And not too long thereafter, she said, yes, I want to do this. And I know it's because of what you've seen as far as the power of God's grace to transform human lives that you want to come and be a part. And tell us about some of the things that you would like to see happen on your watch as chairman of the board of Basic Gospel. I know I've called you the growth chairman. You're the guy that's going to help move this ministry to new heights and new levels. But talk a little bit about your vision, what you would like to see happen through Basic Gospel.
Well, this ministry is so efficient with its resources, and its footprint is so much larger than you could imagine with the small resources that we have. One of the things that we did last year was to, we made a decision as a board and go out on faith and said, we're going to Atlanta and we're going to get on Atlanta stations. I'm sure there's people listening from Atlanta today. There's 7 million people live in the Atlanta area, and the potential there to reach these people with this message is so crucial. This message will set people free.
Indeed.
And there's very little of this kind of message of the new covenant coming right out of the scriptures that can change people just like I got changed. And I think we want to continue on and maybe look for new markets. We want to get on to more big markets live and in drive times. Because this message, when it's a person listen to this program consistently for a week or two, mm-hmm. which I did originally, will set you free. You start getting all this truth in there, and you go check it out for yourself, and you says, my gosh, that is true.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what we want people to do. We just want to get the message out there. We want to engage people and let the truth of God's grace do its work in their lives. And, Paul, I just want to tell you, we are honored beyond measure by your presence and your leadership, and can't thank you enough for serving Basic Gospel the way that you do. And thanks for being a part of the program today.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks,
Paul. Friends, if the true gospel message you hear each day on this program, as we were saying, is making a difference for you as it did for Paul through the conferences and the other literature and materials, please remember that others also need to hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ, and your gift will help us reach them as well. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Again, in Canada, donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you make your gift this month, we'll send you a copy of the new CD series, which is called Eternal Security, as our thanks for helping us reach others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With his love and grace, we go forward day by day here on this broadcast. Friends, I want to remind you also that the listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Just call anytime, day or night. Well, now for Bob and Richard, and with thanks to Paul McLean, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis. Join us for Ephesians tomorrow at the same time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.